oh my God, this project is more than what I think it is. It is about sharing and stories and women reclaiming their space, you know, gently. It wasn't even like, you know, it was so gentle and so beautiful. And the kind, different kinds of women that I painted and have in my project is so interesting. I'm falling in love with this woman. And so when I told my friends, and everybody was like, oh my God, you're going through a midlife crisis. It's going to be over soon. What's happening to you? And all that, you know, it's a phase. So I was like, I don't think it's a phase. I think this is going to happen. So everyone, you have to know it's going to happen, and we'll have to accept. Like, I was ready to lose friends, lose family.
Hi, welcome to the Mohua Show. My name is Mohua Chinnappa, and I am an author, entrepreneur, and ex-housewife. This podcast is about everything from business to technology to arts to lifestyle, but done and spoken, imandari se.
Hi, in today's episode, we have with us Nidhi Mariam Jacob. She's an independent artist and a muralist from Bangalore. With a creative spirit that knows no bounds, I've met Nidhi, and I found this entire bohemian, amazingly artistic vibe about her, which is so extremely attractive. But what attracted me more to you was all the flowers and the leaves and, you know, so much of nature that really comes through your work, Nidhi. So, Nidhi, let's just talk a little bit about the entire journey of you as an artist, okay? Your life. And I think last time when we got talking, you spoke about a difficult relationship with your mother. And how has any of these things really impacted your work of art? So let's just begin. I think the first thing with Fantasy Garden, which is a series that draws inspiration from your childhood memory. So what is that memory that stays back with you for you to get down to express it on your canvas?
I think how the Fantasy Garden started, the series started, has two biggest landmark memories for me. One is in my childhood where, you know, I used to watch my mother. She was like a naturalist, and so was my grandfather. And, you know, I would watch my mom just like take a little stick, stick it into the mud, and it would be growing in a few days. And I would always think, my God, is she some kind of nature goddess? I was her biggest fan, you know. And my granddad would take me for walks, like when I went to Chennai in the summer. And we would walk around, and he would explain every tree and leaf to me, irrespective of my age. He would give me biological, a botanical name, stuff like that. So I think it started from there. And the Fantasy Gardens, actually, the whole series started, I think, about 7 to 8 years ago. I mean, I painted all kinds of things, but this particular style came about at one point when I was going through a bit of a rough patch financially, and, you know, I was separated from my husband, and I was just trying to figure out how I'm going to take care of my kids and how I'm going to, because I had saved nothing. You know how it is when you, I was always doing art, I was always doing projects when I was married. But I would just spend all the money, you know, on the kids and buy them cycles and buy them books. And I had my parents who spoiled me. So they'd be like, we'll get you everything. So I really didn't save. And when I separated, I was like, oh shit, now what am I going to do? You know, sorry, I hope I'm allowed to use a few words. And then I started thinking, okay, I'm going to start trying and getting a new style together. And I remember my neighbor downstairs, Ida, she had bought something from IKEA, and she had, and the boards, the packaging was really big. And I think she bought something for kids. And so I took the packaging, I cut it up into little squares, the brown board, and I painted this new style, which I, it just came up for me. I painted it on that and I put it out on Instagram, which I didn't know how to use. And Instagram was a new thing for me. My present partner, Bhavna, actually taught me how to use it. And I put out this one piece, and which was this style. And a friend of mine and an art collector, Aarti Gupta, I'm sure you know her, she called me and she said, listen, that thing that you've done on that cardboard, the style, there's something about it. And I feel like it's going to go places. I want to buy it now before you get too expensive. And I was like, ha ha ha, I laughed and everything. And I remember I sold her the first piece for like 5,000 bucks or something like that. And she said, I can assure you that this is going to get big. And so I just started painting the same style, you know. And now it's, yeah. So that's what's happened. Now I'm known for those gardens.
Yes. And it's something that I've had. You know, I've written it in my notes because I'm building my house and I know that who to get in touch with for, you know, this garden space to have within my own room. And so let's talk a little bit about Breathing Canvas, which explores the intimate and non-sexualized representation, you know, of the human body. So this whole idea of the non-sexualized human body, which I can relate to a lot because I've done boudoir photography of men, and there was, I've not yet put it out, and this I'm just sharing with you, Nidhi, that on this podcast. The entire process for me when I was just, you know, shooting them, it was just a human body that I looked at the light and the, you know, and the light falling, their emotions on their faces and their body, some parts of their body that I thought looked so beautiful, but there was nothing sexual about it. And it gets very difficult to explain to people because, you know, it was almost spiritual, the time that I spent, you know, when I did it, you know, in Delhi last year. So tell me a little bit, explain, I think, to our listeners, what is it that you mean about, you know, the non-sexualized representation of the human body? You know, what sparked your interest in this theme and how do you, you know, go about, it's such a profound aspect within art, right? It's not something that most people understand because majority would say that it's very obscene of me to go ahead and click pictures, you know, boudoir pictures of men. I would love to hear your take on this.
So Breathing Canvas was kind of like a turning point for me in my artistic career, I would say. I mean, before I tell you anything else, I just want to say that I think at 8 years ago, when at 39 or 40, I kind of experienced like a complete transformation of myself. I can't explain it. Many people say it's midlife crisis, but there was a complete shift in the way I saw things, in the way I wanted to lead my life, the way my purpose changed. I felt like I have a bigger voice than I felt like my voice was important. And that's how Breathing Canvas came about. And one day I was like, I've been painting on all these things for so long. Like some friends of mine used to say, oh, you're the artist who'll paint on anything kind of thing, you know. And then I said, I want to use something that's living and breathing and moving. And I want to paint on that. And I was like, I think the human body is something that would be so interesting to work on. And I wanted to paint on women. Specifically, also because the energies are different. I wasn't sure if I want to paint on men because there's all the ego and all that stuff that comes in between. So I was like, I know women. So I started with friends. So it started off as an art project that I wanted to paint on the human body and take photographs. That was all it was, right? But what happened with Breathing Canvases, as I kept doing it, it just became more less about the art and more about the stories that women shared with me, and I started sharing as we went through the process of painting on them. Like, you know, they, like some women would start off kind of like, you know, like the shoulders down, feeling a little shy. And then slowly as we kept painting, they would open up and say, okay, you can paint a little more. They take down their clothes a little more. And then they started sharing things about, you know, just like childhood memories of how we've been conditioned to look at ourselves. And I feel like that really inspired me. I was like, oh my God, this project is more than what I think it is. It is about sharing and stories and women reclaiming their space, you know, gently. It wasn't even like, you know, it was so gentle and so beautiful. And the different kinds of women that I painted and have in my project is so interesting. There's like moms, somebody who's just had a baby. There are dancers. There are big women, small women, skinny women, you know, all that, different colors and how we discuss colorism in India. It was, yeah, it was so beautiful and so enriching for me. So that's Breathing Canvas. And I feel like through the process of this is where I came up with this thing saying, you know, the personal is political. It is, there's so much that comes from personal experience that's political that needs to be heard. So that's Breathing Canvas for me. I hope I answered the question.
Oh, of course, Nidhi, you did. And you gave me the goosebumps because I just feel that, you know, when we take off our clothes, we're in our most vulnerable self. And, you know, all the issues that we share, you know, we've probably inherited, you know, with the conversations around us. And like you said, it's political that, you know, how is it that we need to look? There's a deep, you know, stereotyping of how a woman's body should be through art, through writing, through, you know, through common culture. And to break that is unbelievably great. So, you know, what it makes me come down to a question that how difficult, Nidhi, is it for you to navigate this world of doing something that's so out of the box, right? And then being in a city where everything around you works on a different tandem altogether. How do these two worlds come together?
I would say I've kind of shrunk my world a little bit just so that I can pursue the things that I want to pursue. I've kind of made it much smaller. I only take in criticism or feedback that I know is honest and meant for growth of me or my projects or whatever it is. So initially when I started Breathing Canvas, of course, there were people telling me like, it sounds a little self-indulgent. What is this? Like, what is the reason for doing this? And actually, I myself didn't know. I wasn't clear. I was like, it's an art project. I take photos of bodies. But then as I kept going, I got the confidence to explain to people what was happening. And then they were like, I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it also. So I feel like when you do something with true intent, it was not self-indulgent. But it seemed self, but it was not. And so I feel like the truth and honesty of the way I went through the process of the project and how my subjects participated kind of dissipated a lot of the criticism, which is always there. I mean,
it's all right to be self-indulgent, Nidhi, because at the end of the day, when you create art, when you write something, it is an indulgence of the soul that you put out. And, you know, I mean, every time I sit down to write, I don't know, I cannot lie ever when I put down to writing stuff. And then it can be extremely from a very deep space of pain, shame that a lot of people can't relate to, you know. So I think it's all right to be self-indulgent as an artist. So, Nidhi, tell me a little bit about nature, okay? Because I grew up in Shillong and, you know, to me, nature is extremely close to my heart. And every time I shut my eyes and at night, you know, when I lie down and I have too much of trauma happening, you know, in me internally, I need to just shut my eyes and recall nature that I grew up in. And that's when I feel a sense of calm. So where does nature come into your work? From where?
Like I told you, my childhood was huge growing up with my mother and my grandfather who were just like, you know, nature lovers. And I think that every single time through my life, different phases, without even knowing, I think just even spending like 10 minutes sitting under a tree when I'm going through intense turmoil has healed me, you know, like without even just sitting there looking, being present. Something happens when you're out in nature and you don't have anything else to distract you. It can be so healing because you are just observing and you're just present and you're just watching. And, you know, I always say like the nature's cycle of like birth and death and then rebirth is so kind of imitative of our life as well. So I feel for me, nature is that. And also, I used to attempt to paint things, realistic paintings. And then I figured that I want to give it another layer where it's kind of like a fantasy to me. If you see my flowers and stuff, they're not realistic at all. It's my version of a chrysanthemum. If it's my version of a sunflower, I'll take two flowers and two trees and put them together and, you know, make it like a fantastical thing. So it's more like, what is my heart seeing? More than what my eyes are seeing. And then I kind of replicate that in my work. So I feel like nature has, you know, done so much for me. I mean, it's taken me this far. So, yeah. And I think also my paintings are kind of like, when people say like, what is your goal with your paintings? Or what is your purpose, right? Like, what is the message you're trying to send? So I'm always saying like, I just want people to feel a sense of wonder and joy and like a reminder of how beautiful our natural world is. You know, I love it when children look at my work and say, I saw this flower there, or I know what that is, which is so beautiful because everyone's getting so disconnected, you know. So I feel like, yeah, I just always wish like when somebody looks at my paintings, they're like just reminded of the wonder of the natural world.
It's amazing. So, you know, Nidhi, would you like to talk a little bit about your relationship with your mother? I think you mentioned this to me. And to me, why it's important that we talk, because I just feel that as artists, a lot of our art emanate from pain. At least I will speak for myself. And I've had a difficult relationship also, you know, with my father and also my mother. Is reflected in life decisions through my writing too. So let's just talk a little bit about you and pain and art.
And the mother. Yeah, so, oh my God, that's like, it's a huge story. I've just started talking about it a little more now, I feel. But it's really funny. I'm 46 years old, going to be 47 this year. And I mean, you might believe or you won't believe that I hadn't traveled to study or I hadn't traveled enough till I had never been to Europe. I had till 2 years ago, because my mother, even though she's a warrior, she's an amazing woman, but she kind of held me in this grip where, I mean, it's unbelievable. Sometimes I'm like, I wasted so many years not doing everything that I wanted to do. But also it's a learning and it's beautiful now. But my mom, I was the only child. I think she wanted all her dreams to come through me. And first of all, I didn't become the doctor that she wanted me to be. And she wanted me to study in Bangalore. And she didn't want me to leave the city because I was her crutch, which is what I realize now. And so even though she gave me a lot, and in my mind, she was the coolest woman on the planet, because she drove a Jeep and sent, took me to school and college and everything. But it was very difficult for her to let me go. And finally, like I said, you know, there was this transformation, thank my stars, where I said, you know, I need to make these boundaries. I need to become my person and not just live for, you know, I would just drop things and go to, my mother lives in Koramangala. Come, this is happening at the farm. Come, I want to go to the jeweler shop. And I would just drop things and just go driving to her to help her out. And I had to make those changes for myself. I mean, it's a long story. There's a little bit of history of mental illness in the family, which we had to address with my mother. And, you know, after we addressed it, after everyone in the family was ready to address it, we kind of work things out, you know, because before that it was like, oh, she's just crazy. But we had to address the problem and kind of get her to acknowledge what's happening and say, it's not your character, but there might be an illness that's kind of, you know, making these things happen. And yeah, so I feel like I was held in that space for so long. You might say protected, but so protected that I wasn't even exposed to, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, Nidhi. I'm a single child too. So I still, you know, find myself dropping everything, stopping my life. You know, I'd just gone for the Jaipur Literature Festival and I didn't have the courage to stay on that Sunday because I knew that now with my father having passed away, she was alone and she would be waiting for me because she's not made, you know, a lot of friends and I'm in a house and not, you know, in an apartment where she knows people. And I still find myself that I will drop things, you know, to accommodate her in my life. So I relate to it because even my mother, I don't know about yours, but my mother had me when I was very young. So I'm like that sister. And now as she has aged, I'm her mother. So, you know, even when I'm going through a crisis, what she wants me is to hold her and comfort her, irrespective of the fact whether my world is falling apart. So Nidhi, I think you and me are very much at that same page. And coming out of this is nothing less of a feat. And unless a person has experienced this, they will never, ever be able to really comprehend and understand what it takes, you know, and that self-talk that you need to do where the whole world shames you for, you know, for talking about your parents because they're held at such a high pedestal. And, you know, it takes so much of courage to talk about it. So kudos to you, Nidhi. But Nidhi, you know what? I need to also talk a little bit to you about you know, your paintings, and do they speak a little bit about the LGBTQ community? Because I've been to your house and I remember, you know, how beautifully I saw you with your partner. And how has the world treated you with this? How did you, you know, come out and choose, you know, your safe space, your haven, your love, your place of really becoming the person that you are today, Nidhi? Tell me a little bit about that.
Coming out with my relationship with Bhavna was crazy, because I myself was like, what the hell is going on with me, right? I'm falling in love with this woman. And so when I told my friends, and everybody was like, oh my God, you're going through a midlife crisis. It's going to be over soon. What's happening to you? And all that, you know, it's a phase. So I was like, I don't think it's a phase. I think this is going to happen. So everyone, you have to know it's going to happen, and we'll have to accept. Like, I was ready to lose friends, lose family. I was like, okay, my family is going to, you know, whatever, they'll be like, oh my God, this girl, first of all, she didn't do her medicine, and then she didn't do this, and then she didn't do that, and blah, 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 blah. But funnily, it just all, and it's so funny that I, you know, when I talk about my mother, it's such a crazy relationship we have, that she was the first person I told, you know, when I said, you know, I'm not, like, my marriage is not going okay. And she's like, I've known this for a long time. Right. So she's so progressive, as like it comes to her naturally. But there was this other side of her as well that I struggled with. But she was like, I think I know who it is. And she had met Bhavna only once at some show that I was having. And she said, is there somebody else in your life? So I said, no. And then she said, I think so. I think it's that girl, Bhavna. And, you know, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, I remember just dropping my bag and being like, how did she know that? You know, she sensed it. And I mean, it was that she didn't even guess some other guy. She said, Bhavna, she just knew. And of course, she struggled with it. She's like, oh, what is everyone going to say? The church and blah, 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 blah. But I was like, this is happening. Whether I'm going to be with Bhavna or not, my life is going to change. I have like a larger purpose. I'm meant for bigger things, basically. You know, that was my thing. It was not that now I'm going to be gay or now I'm going to be this. I just knew that my life has to move towards bigger things, because I had adopted my daughter Midori, you know, 8 months before all this chaos happened. And I used to look at her and be like, man, I really need to like be the woman that I want her to kind of be or to emulate or whatever. And I felt like I'd done everything right. I got married, then I got this farm, and then I have the children and the pets, and you know, and it seems so perfect. So everybody's like, you're going to give all this up to, you know, be an artist and be with a woman. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to, and I don't feel like I'm giving up anything, you know. So, and you asked me about how, so honestly, I didn't have struggles in that sense, because I was ready. I was ready for the change. I was ready for people to kind of move away if they didn't understand. But the beautiful part is I just kept going, and slowly people started coming back without me even trying. Like, I think finally I was like, acceptance can come naturally. Like, the acceptance that I wanted always for like 40 years, I kind of let it go. And then the acceptance came on its own. So I feel like, yeah, when you try too hard, might not be the right way. But if you do the right thing, I think the acceptance will come, because then you look happy, or you look, you know, fulfilled. And then everyone's like, yeah, even I want of that.
So Nidhi, tell me a little bit about your art. Does your art reflect, you know, your sexuality?
I don't know about that. I mean, you know, I use a lot of color and stuff like that. I used to be a muted, shades of blue, shades of gray kind of person. But I feel like with just opening up about my sexual fluidity, it kind of emboldened me to, you know, work with color. So that's one thing. But otherwise, I think my art is universal. And I mean, it's for like any human being who, you know, wants to feel joy or likes nature and likes art. So I don't know if that's connected, but yeah.
So Nidhi, what is the next project that you're working on? If you could just share with our listeners, and if they were to find you, how do they go about it?
So there's a lot of work happening. I've had a great 2 years. I mean, I had a show in Norway, and then I was at Jahangir in Bombay, which is all so kind of like mind-blowing to me that it's all happened over the last, you know, I've had some great shows. My work is at the airport. So imagine for me, who wasn't even sure that my art was so good, that in the last 8 years, it's exploded. Of course, I've worked really hard, really, really hard. I've been working my ass off. But it's because I believe in it. And my work's at the airport at Terminal 2. And then I have a show coming up at the end of this year, a solo show with a gallery in Bangalore. That's happening.
You've got your hands full with all your art projects. And thank you for being on today's episode, Nidhi. It is an absolute honor for me to have you today on my show. And for all our listeners, Nidhi Mariam Jacob can be found on Instagram. And if you could just share with us your Instagram handle.
It is Nidhi Mariam Jacob or Nidhi Jacob _art on Instagram.
Lovely. Wish you all the best and thank you for being on today's episode.
To you, our dearest listeners, you can find us on your favorite streaming services, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcast, and of course on all other major streaming services. With loads of love, we are The Mohua Show, where we talk imandari se.